This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to another Sunday night at Road School Moms Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time traveling mom of four and co-founder of Full Time Families. And on the line with me tonight is my wonderful co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, and I'm also a full-time traveling mom of four and coming to you tonight from Western Illinois and excited to be here with our series on what to keep and what to toss in our How to Hit the Road series.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited about tonight's show. You know, you and I earlier, and there's a whole host of stuff we're going to be sharing about what to keep and what to toss, and I think some people are going to be kind of surprised about what they should leave at home.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know. So, Mary Beth, what did your road school look like this week?
Well, our road school this week was a culmination of just we were kind of on the wing it plan again. I feel like I tell you that every Sunday night, but we are just so we're just not structured at all right now. It's summertime, and I'm kind of letting my kiddos do what comes natural to them. I've got one that likes to read, so he has a tendency to read more than the others. Taylor has been eating up the road trip teacher's copy work guide. She's done them over twice, I think, all of them over twice. So she's been tweaking and researching my study guide. She's actually been very helpful because she keeps finding little things that we keep changing. So she's my chief R&D person, I guess. We've been doing some read alouds. You know, we've talked about that, Kimberly, how much the both of us like that, you know, in our families. We've been reading a book aloud, and yeah, we're just kind of enjoying the pre-fourth planning and celebration for that. Just kind of hanging out. How about you?
Very cool. Well, my road school was super relaxed because my mom is in town and she's been taken over.
We love your mom.
Yeah, we do. She came to the road school convention in Tucson, and now she's up here with us, and she's been taking over the mornings, and she's been sitting down with Tonya. I got Tonya Matthew C. At the Alpha program, and she's been sitting down with Tonya going through that. And then she brought some math books with her, specifically, oh, I can't remember what the heck they're called. It'll come to me. So she's been doing that with the boys, and as always, they have to read an hour a day. And they have to either email or journal, and they're working on something called Fun to Type, which is a free online typing game. And I can see rapid improvement. They've been doing this for the last 3 weeks, and they've been doing really great with it. So I'm impressed.
Interesting. You know, it's funny you're mentioning the math, because that's the one thing that I'll say that, I mean, I know we've talked about whether we technically year-round school or what we do, but I'll say that kind of for these 7 months, I've kind of let the math go, and I think that's where so many of us struggle is with the math. So, Matt, did Tonya just start math, you see?
She did. Just this week she started.
Interesting. Well, I'll be interested to know how what she thinks of that, if that's something that maybe one of my youngers would like, because I've looked at math, you see. I know we've talked about it. We've talked about reviewing it and things like that. Something we definitely looked at.
So the thing I would say with Matthew C. based on the first week that we've been doing it is you should definitely get the manipulatives that they sell for it, because he uses those extensively in the videos, and I think that she would get a lot out of having her own set. So that's something I'm going to look into, maybe look on eBay or Amazon and see about getting those manipulatives, because I bought this secondhand, and it only came with the disc and the student book and the teacher book, so... That's what I
interesting. We should. We're going to have to write this down in our ever-growing list of future episodes. I think an episode on road school math would be a good one. I know that we looked at Life of Fred last year, which I know several of us out on the road use that or have used it in the past. That's something that I actually used for my sixth grader going into seventh grade, and he really likes that. So just a lot of interesting ways to keep math alive in your rig.
Absolutely. We had been using Saxon math.
Yeah. Right.
Worksheets, and that was good, but, you know, I don't know. It's still very good. I'm having a really hard time getting rid of it. Ha ha, what's the keyboard to toss? That's one
yeah.
of the challenges we'll talk about tonight, actually, making yourself get rid of things. Because it's good, but I don't feel like, I don't know, I just don't feel like it's enough. I feel like if we're going to do math, we need to do math better than just these worksheets. And maybe if I sat down with them and did the worksheets with them, that would be good enough, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that they could do on their own, but that they progress further faster with. And I guess Saxon is extremely repetitive, and so it's a slow math curriculum.
Great. Okay, I don't mean to interrupt our math thoughts, but tell me the name of the typing program again. Someone in our chat wants to know the name of that.
Okay, so it's funtotype.com, and there's a bunch of different programs on there. They're all free typing games, and even Tonya, my 7-year-old, gets on there and does her own fun to type. And I'll tell you what, Dominic sometimes will say to me, well, I'm done with all my schoolwork. Can I go back out and do another half hour of fun to type? And I go, okay.
Is that a trick question?
Don't make a habit of this, son. Or whatever.
Right.
So it's been good. They're enjoying it.
Good. What's new in your part of the world? What's the weather like there?
Oh, the weather. I think I'm going to start growing mushrooms. I'm telling you what. I am in the Pacific Northwest. And it is rainy and cold and foggy. And when the sun comes out for 2 seconds of the day, I run outside and absorb as much as possible. But otherwise, I swear I'm going to be growing mold and moss and mushrooms pretty soon on my body.
Mm.
And by you?
I didn't hear you.
I said, and by you?
By us, well, we're in the Midwest, so, of course, we have humidity and sun and crazy heat. I'm not complaining. I like summerish temperatures, so that's fine. But lots of sunshine, lots of humidity here.
Well, I want to announce something that happened this week that I'm super excited about. As you know, we're going to be hosting our second annual FTF scavenger hunt, which is a nationwide scavenger hunt that any family who can hear me or any family that's on our Facebook or any family on our mailing list, any family anywhere can participate in. You do not need to be full-time on the road to participate in it. You do not need to be full-time family's member to participate in it. And it's a 4-week scavenger hunt that you do as a family, and we give you 25 clues a week, and some clues are worth more points than others. And so you collect the clues and collect the points, and at the end we announce the winner. And I wanted to announce that we have a corporate sponsor for this year's event, and it is Lazy Days RV Dealership.
That's awesome. That's so exciting. I'm so glad they're getting on board with this. I think it's the first of many exciting activities that will be offered through your organization.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this partnership. And as a result of this partnership, we are able to move the prize 150% from last year. Last year, we had a top prize of $100 from our sponsor, Oil Can Henry. This year, the top prize is $250 cold, hard cash. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. That's awesome.
I want to know, Mary Beth, if you won the scavenger hunt, what would you do with your $250?
What would I do with my $250? Gosh, I would. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I would probably. That is a really hard question. I don't know. You know, it's so funny. Like, I'm so content right now with where I'm at that as long as I'm traveling and seeing new places, like I just don't have this big need for anything. I think I might save it. There, that's what I would do. If I won your $250, I would save it for when I really needed it for something later that I wanted.
Very nice.
That's not a very exciting answer. I know that's not what you were looking for, but I can't really think of anything that I have to have right now.
Well,
I would buy. Go ahead.
I want to hear it.
I would buy a plane ticket to come see you. That's what I'd do.
Aw, so sweet. So sweet. Well, I have been giving this a lot of thought. If I won $250 from the scavenger hunt, I think I would use it to take one of those experiences that we have to say no a lot to. You know, when you travel full time, you do not have this income that permits you to, you know, do every tourist experience. Take the double-decker buses, take this horseback ride, take that helicopter ride, swim with the dolphins, dive with the manatee. You know, we get to do some of that, but absolutely not all of that. And that is really a treat for us. So I think I would use that $250 towards an experience, because Lord knows that I don't need $250 worth of stuff in this camper.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I was kind of, the first thing I was thinking when you said that was, there's really nothing that I feel like I just have to have, because then I would have to find a place for it, and I don't want to do that. So, yeah, I'm on board with your thought, because, you know, my $250 would go in a jar for something later on down the road. And you're right, experiences of, such a good point. Experiences are exactly what we're looking for, and sometimes, you know, they're too expensive to take everybody along for the ride. So you're right. That's a great thought.
Yeah. So just I'd love the listeners to be out there considering what they would do with $250, and if they want to put that on the chat, if you were to win the FTF scavenger hunt that's kicking off in a few weeks, what would you do with the $250? Just something to contemplate.
So tell me, Kimberly, how can someone make sure they get all the details about the scavenger hunt?
So what they definitely want to do is go on Facebook and be a part of the Full-Time Families Scavenger Hunt Facebook page. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call it up right now. Let me see. I'm calling it up. And then I'm going to put it in the chat. And I'll put it on our Road School Moms Facebook page as well. So they're going to want to join that group and be ready, willing, and able. All they need is a camera and their family and a thirst for excitement and adventure, and they'll be in the right place at the right time. It'd be perfect.
Great. Well, I'm excited. You know, this will be our first year participating in the scavenger hunt, so our family's very excited about the kickoff of that.
You know, it's a great family bonding building experience because, like I said, we do not have a limited income. So these are all things that you can do for no cost whatsoever to you. They don't cost you any money to get these clues done. I'm trying to think while I'm posting. So this is a great thing. If you're stationary for the summer, or even if you're not, if you're moving around from place to place, all the better. You can do this anywhere in the country and talk about having an exciting summer.
Right. Heather from our chat says that she would use the $250, save it for their plan to become full-time in January. So that's a good thought.
That's a great idea, Heather. That's a really great idea. Definitely you want to be building a little pot of money for when you're launching so that, you know, you've got a little nest egg there.
Yep.
So do you want to start talking about what to keep and what to toss?
I'm all for it.
Okay.
I think that the first thing that we should talk about is that we're geared for what to keep and what to toss if you're going to go full-time, if you're moving from sticks and bricks, going on the road. But these ideas that we're talking about and a lot of things we're going to discuss in this hour is really for anyone that is making any kind of life change. You're downsizing, you're an empty nester, you're moving from one house to another, going on the road, whatever. What to keep and what to toss.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that because
the second book that I've written that is very, very little known is called Buried Bliss. And it doesn't just apply to people who want to go on the road full time. It applies to anyone who wants to simplify their life or has to downsize due to job loss, due to changes in their lifestyle. So this really, although this will help people who are going full time and it will help people who are currently in their RVs, this really is a general subject for anyone who looks at any surface in their house and sees a big pile of stuff.
Right. Now, is that book available through your website, Kimberly on Full Time Families? Is it available at Amazon as well?
It is available on my website. Again, it's called Buried Bliss. It's the seven steps that I documented when I was downsizing, when I went from 93% of my stuff to 7% of my stuff. And what I will do tonight, and for future reference, anyone who is listening on this podcast, and sends me an email at kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com. I will send you the book for free on me. So when I get into this website, to this review broadcast, it's still a viable offer. Just go ahead and drop me a line, and I will get you the book.
Perfect. So tell me, Kimberly, when you started thinking about going on the road and downsizing your house into your rig, what was the first area of your house that you tackled? Was what room was it, or what area was it?
Well, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, it was all Chris's stuff because I wasn't emotionally attached to any of it.
You was not emotionally attached to any of it. Is that what you said?
I wasn't emotionally attached to anything that Chris owned, so that was very easy for me to get rid of.
So what you're saying is you got a little rid of a lot of Chris's stuff first.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. In order to get momentum and get the ball rolling and feel what it felt like to have a half-empty closet, I went through and I got rid of most of my husband's things first.
Well, that's interesting because I don't have to say that that's kind of what I did. I went through all of everyone else's things first because it was so much easier to tell everyone else what they did not need. So
perfect. Exactly.
That might be universal, but isn't it so much easier to just see the forest for the trees? You know, you just see it very clearly. That's so funny.
Yes, absolutely. That is par for the course. So, yeah. So, but, you know, I needed momentum. I needed, you know, anyone who's listening who's gone through any kind of downsizing knows that you walk into a room and you're completely overwhelmed, right?
That's the first
feeling. And then maybe you start opening a drawer, and then you start hiking yourself down memory lane, right? So you get through one drawer, and you see one photo album, and there you are, 3 hours later, still going through the photo album, contemplating how you're going to make more photo albums and accomplishing nothing.
That's exactly right.
So my very first suggestion, whenever you are going to start downsizing, that day you get yourself three huge boxes. Go get those wardrobe boxes from the U-Haul, those
right.
really big ones to hang your things in, and you write on them in big black marker, toss, keep, donate, right?
Right.
And
yep.
make it your goal over the course. There's a child outside singing her head off. Can you hear this?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. And you hear it, and you make it your goal to, in 3 days, fill those three boxes.
Okay.
So,
I like it.
And you just start pitching it, right? You just everything that you put in your hand, you look at it, and then this is the other thing that I love. Do I love it? Do I like? I really love it. Does it make my heart sing to look at this thing, or does it make me money? If it doesn't, if you can't answer yes to either of those things, get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one thing that I found with when I enlisted my kids to help with anything, and I didn't do that a lot because it got too emotional for everyone, but when I did have them do it, I actually had the same sort of system, but I used trash cans. They weren't trash cans that had been used for trash, but they, you know, I'd clean them out, whatever. But what I found with them, and even myself, is that the first few things that you decided to get rid of were kind of hard. But then as you toss them, like, you could really toss them. Like, you know, you're really throwing them away and you're leaving it behind. It got to be kind of a game with my kids. You know, it's how fast those, especially the donate, they're
totally into donating things. I think that's awesome. They love to go with me to take it, you know, to wherever we're taking it. And I don't know, there's just something therapeutic about throwing it into that can.
Yes, so absolutely.
I made time.
You just remind me of a million years ago when I used to be a big follower of the Fly Lady. Do you know her?
I do. I know what you're talking about, yes.
She's brilliant. So she would initiate this thing called the Fling Boogie, and she'd announce, okay, it's Fling Boogie time, and run around the house and have everyone fill up a bag. And it was either a bag to donate or a bag to trash or whichever. But the point was, like, quickly, let's just get this done. Let's not think too hard about it. Let's just get this stuff done. And they would. And that would be that. And so we did a lot of that also when we were getting ready to leave the house. But what I struggled with terribly was, in my mind, so if I'm going to donate something, I've decided I'm going to donate it. Well, let's say it's a business suit for a woman. Well, I know that there's a special donation that gives, low-income people clothes for interviews. Well, that'd be perfect. So I'll put that in that special pile. And then this is housewares, and I know that there's a special donation center for single moms. Well, that would be perfect. So I'll put it in that pile. And then, like, having this perfection in your donation, that would drive me crazy. Have you ever experienced that?
I did, and I'll just say that's – well, let's just talk about that right now. You need to keep your – if you're listening out there, no matter whether you're a first-time downsizer or you're doing this for the 50th time, keep your passion to donate it. Lose your craziness to be perfect about where you're donating it to. Put it in a bag, put it in a box, put it in a whatever, and put it in a car or a truck so that you can take it to the nearest charitable organization that needs it. I mean, that's the main thing, is to get it out of your house, out of your garage, out of your camper, out of wherever it is. Take it and get rid of it.
Absolutely. And what gave me a lot of peace of mind was then I decided to have faith that if I sent it to the Goodwill, the right person at the right time would be at the Goodwill, and I would be able to bless them with it without being there, without making sure it got to the perfect donation center. Make sure it got to the right hand. And so that gave me a sense of comfort.
No, that's such a good attitude, and that's awesome. I love how you worded that. That's such a good thought, because you have to think about, like you're talking about the business suit, while many people probably know about whatever that organization is that tries to help women specifically get interviews and get new jobs and whatever, there's also a same number of women probably that go into the Goodwill or go into all these other places with the same need. So, you know, like you said, being able to bless someone somewhere, leave it in God's hands and let it be the right time. And that's the goal.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure that happened because, you know, while we're talking about Goodwill, I want to talk very quickly about our viewers in Goodwill. Our good friend Margie, current chick, the survivor chick, Margie Lundy, loves to say that our viewers store their belongings at Goodwill, and we store them in one Goodwill in one part of the country, and we pick it up if we need it again at another Goodwill in another part of the country. So if you find that you've tossed something that you really, really do need, I promise you, if you go to Goodwill, you'll find it.
Right. Yep. Well, and there's just really not very many things that are irreplaceable. I mean, when you think about it, and I don't know, I've kind of developed this mentality about, you know, is this going to matter 100 years from now? Is this thing I'm holding in my hand, is it going to matter 100 years from now? And 9 times out of 10, it's not. So let it go.
Right. Absolutely. Just let it go, because chances are, especially if you are an ingenious person, what I have found is in very, very, very slight cases that I have let something go that I've needed, I've been able to construct it out of what I still have.
Right. Right. That's a really good point.
So just let yourself be a little ingenious and know that you don't – just because that makes waffles, you can still make waffles without a waffle maker and without even waffle maker mixture.
That's right. And what you do find out, and I mean, this is one thing I found out, you know, when we first left, I took, because I love to cook, I love to bake, you know, all that. And I had a couple of crates under our rig that had all these one-time use, you know, like you're talking, like a waffle maker, or, you know, whatever. I didn't actually have a waffle maker. But, you know, you have those things. And what I found myself doing is I would figure out how to do that thing without whatever appliance it was, or, you know, just like you're saying. It's called evolution. There's a thing on the road that is just, I mean, it's just RV evolution. That's all it is. Because you really do transform your, you know, you just transform yourself as you go. And as you get some time under your belt, you realize what's important, what's not. And you just figure out that you're way more resourceful than you ever knew you were, that you were.
Absolutely. Now let's talk some nitty gritty. Do you have a full four season wardrobe in your motorhome?
I do not. I will tell you that when we left that I did. Because I didn't know you, so I didn't have you to ask. But, you know, when we first went full-time, we were totally in the dark. We didn't even realize what we were doing. We were just going out for 3 weeks and ended up leaving for 10. We've already had that discussion. So what happened is I didn't know where we were going or what we really needed. And so I had crates of winter stuff in the basement of our rig, and I had all of our summer stuff. And it was crazy because what we found out was we don't need our winter stuff. I mean, we are 99.9% of the time we're in a fairly warm climate. So we have summer-type clothing. Everyone has a jacket. You know, everyone has a pair of closed-toed shoes. But other than that, we definitely do not keep four seasons worth of clothing. How about you?
We actually do. And I am right now in the process of posting a list on Full-Time Families. I'll let you know when it's up, of exactly what our wardrobe looks like. Because, again, you know, I'm just so crazy anal that when we were doing this, I wrote down what we would need. And then I amended it a couple months later to what we actually needed. And I have, like, the X number of T-shirts for a 7- to 10-year-old and how many pairs of underwear you need. And I was able to have a four-season wardrobe just really, really super pared down that fit really perfectly in our camper and allowed us to be anywhere and do anything. Because one thing that we did was we went snow tubing. We were in southern Utah where the climate was very temperate. And we decided we want to go snow tubing. And under the rig, I had full-on snowsuits for the kids and boots and hats and gloves. I had it all. So I thought that was really important to me. If someone said, hey, I want to go scuba diving, obviously I don't have scuba tanks, but I wanted to have everything that I could possibly have to do anything we wanted to do. So it was really important to keep our regular wardrobe to the minimum so that we could have room for these other things too.
And that's a slick way. I can't wait to see your list. And I think this goes, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about tonight, and whether you read your book or your list or my blog post, whatever, a lot of things that we talk about are very lifestyle, you know, apparent. For me, I have no desire. I mean, I really don't have a lot of desire to be in cold climates. So when I say we don't have four seasons worth of clothing, it's mainly because I don't want to have it. I don't, you know, we don't travel in those seasons, at least not yet. Maybe we will someday. But for now, we travel in those places at different times of the year, and we don't have the need for that. But for someone that likes to do that kind of stuff, and like you're saying, you know, that's something that you like to do, then that's awesome that you have figured out how to do that.
Yeah, it was not easy, but it was worth the effort to figure it out for us. Because like I said, you know, yeah, we do predominantly spend our time in warm weather climates. And that was a big response that we got when we posted on the Facebook site, you know, what did you keep, what did you toss? A lot of people posted that they got rid of their winter clothes, which I thought was interesting, like as in like kind of like an announcement to life that we weren't going to suffer through winter anymore. More winter.
Well, and that's part of my thing, you know, and I love, you know, we're from Indiana originally, and, you know, Midwestern winters are kind of crazy, not as crazy as other places, but crazy enough for me. And I just don't have, I love snow at Christmas, but that's enough. That's enough
right.
for me.
Right. So let's talk about how you decided what to pack in your kitchen. Yeah, see, this is a little hard for me because we're going back and talk about how we would do now versus how we did when we really started out. And I can tell you because, as I said, I love to cook and all of that, I took way too many things in the beginning. And I've pared that down now to, like, my 3 or 4 must-haves. I mean, I couldn't do without my crock pot. I couldn't do without this little chopper mixy thing I have. I'll have to find a picture of that and post it on Road School Moms this week because it does a whole bunch of different things. And it's one of those things, I think I might have even bought it off the television, like one of those as seen on TV things. But I really do use it a lot. And that's kind of my rule for my kitchen is if it's something that I use every, like frequently, as in every day or two, then I have a place for it. Somewhere that I can get to easily. I don't have to go out. If I have to go outside to get it, I won't do it. So all of those things that I had in the basement of our rig for my kitchen, I got rid of. Because what I realized was if I did need it, I would think, oh, I don't want to go down there and get that. I don't want to go out and get that. I'll just do something else. So
right.
If I have a place for it and it fits in my kitchen somewhere, then I kept it. And that really got rid of, you know, the one-time or seasonal use appliances I toss. Any heavy dishes or pans I got rid of. I mean, as much as I cook, I only have 2 actual pans in my kitchen now. And I pretty much do everything I need in those. Electric skillet is another must-have for me because I use that a lot outside as well as inside.
Yeah, I like the electric skillet. I have a problem. My sink is not that large. And at any given time, it's full of dishes. And the electric skillet, cleaning the electric skillet or finding a place on my counter to wait to clean it. It was so cumbersome to me that I eventually had to get rid of it. But I miss it.
Well, you need to find one that has, the one I've got is like, has the Teflon or whatever, you know. And so what I do a lot, because I don't know about you, but like kitchen grease in the RV freaks me out because I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to take a chance of it spilling down in a crease of somewhere. I don't want it to get on the floor. You can't like go outside and dump it out in the middle of your site. You don't know. So what I do a lot is I stop that up with paper towels and stuff it down in a plastic cup and then get rid of it in the trash. And then, you know, if it's something that was greasy, and then, I try to wipe it out like that and just clean it right away. But the Teflon coating on mine makes it pretty easy to take care of.
Well, that's good to think about. I might, because I had, like we discussed in the past, that's the same reason why I got rid of my crock pot, because I got so tired of squeezing it into my sink and spilling water everywhere and attempting to clean it that I just said, forget it. I can't deal with this crock pot anymore. But then I missed it very much. And as you know, I have a newfound love affair going on with my crock pot. In fact, I use it every Sunday specifically so I don't have to cook right before the show.
Right. So let's talk about 2 things real quick. Let's take a short break. Number one, you're talking about the crock pot, which is a great break for me to say. Christy is on our chat right now asking for crock pot ideas. So if you're listening out there and if you're listening to the podcast, then you need to definitely go check out our RoadSchoolMoms.com website because Kimberly and I are working on our favorite crock pot recipes, and those are going to be published within the next few weeks. So if that's what you're looking for, stay tuned for that. And someone else, while we're talking about kitchen gear, and I apologize, but I don't have a name for this person that's on our chat because it looks anonymous to me. But they're asking about the collapsible bowls and cups and things like that. Do you have any of those, Kimberly?
I have a collapsible strainer, and I have a bowl that I have a huge frugal vein. And if I have something that's working, it's very hard for me to just replace it with something that's not. But my bowl set is really on its last legs, and I've been looking at it, and the finish is coming off of it, and I just talked to Chris not even this week and said I think I'm going to replace them all with those collapsible bowls. They are a little on the expensive side, but I think what they save me in space is worth it.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'll say that's one of the things that I did. That was something that I seen the need for before we left, so that was something I did invest in, and they were pricey, but I actually do. I have collapsible bowls. I have a collapsible serving like platter type bowl, and then I also have collapsible measuring cups and teaspoons and such like that, and that's all flat. It lives in a drawer right beside my sink, and you know I definitely have a place for it. It's easy to get to, and so yeah, collapsible bowls and things like that for Kimberly and I are 2 thumbs up.
Yes, absolutely. What I do have is a collapsible silicone casserole dish. It's super cool. You can put it right into the microwave. You can cook in the oven with it, and you can put it in the refrigerator and store the food.
Yes.
So I actually love that.
Yeah, and that's what I had. I couldn't think of the right term, but it's a casserole dish. That's what I've got as well. It's not very deep, but it, you know, it is collapsible. I use it all the time. I use it probably every day. I mean, I don't know about you, but I probably use mine every day for something.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember where I got mine from. I know we talked about it. We reviewed it in Full-Time Families magazine, but I don't. I'm searching right now, looking to see what it is, because it's really held up. I've had it for these 4 years, and you can make a cake in it. You can make, you know, chicken pot pie, anything you want you can make in there, and that's a really great thing. I love that. Very, very durable. So what I did for the kitchen, and I don't remember where I got this idea, but I know I didn't invent it, was I took everything from my kitchen, everything from my cupboards, everything from my drawers in my kitchen, and I put them in big moving boxes. And for 2 weeks, I cooked every meal in the kitchen, and whatever I took out, I put back away in a drawer cabinet. And if I didn't touch it in 2 weeks, I just taped up those boxes and sent them on their way.
Well, that's an excellent idea. I love that.
It was really scary, but I have not missed a thing. I really haven't. So that was one way to do it kind of thoughtlessly, not having to make a decision about every single thing. And then the other thing I suggest strongly, and this I do believe I did invent, is when you are downsizing, and if you have a moving date that you're working towards or your launch date that you're working towards to get in your RV, at least once a week, and you can go on right now and schedule it, you schedule a pickup with the American Vets. You can schedule like 7 in a row, like schedule every Monday for 7 weeks and tell them you're going to have 3 boxes out there. And so all week long you have a week to get 3 boxes of stuff out there, and they'll pick it up on Monday morning at your front door, and you don't have to think about it. So it's like a on-delivery service.
Oh, that's a great resource. I had no idea about that. Ours was, we took a lot of our things. We have obviously we have a Goodwill where we were from, but there's also another organization that was for veterans actually as well, and was called, I can't think of it right now, Backdoor Missions, I think it was called, but you could leave things at their back door anytime. There was a, you know, place that you could leave that. And so we took those randomly. It would be late at night, and I would run something in because I know enough that if it goes into that box or it goes in that bag, I need to get rid of it right away. Otherwise, I'll sit there and think about it and think, oh, maybe I should have done this or I should have done that. But having someone scheduled to come pick it up, that's genius.
Right. And then we use that also for the day after our garage sale, because what a hangover that is, right, Mary Beth? You have this garage sale. You put all your time, effort, and everything into having that garage sale, and then you have these leftovers. And you definitely don't want to reabsorb those leftovers back into your house now that you've emotionally detached yourself from that, emotionally detached yourself from that stuff. You really need to get rid of it. So we had our garage sale over a Saturday and a Sunday, and we had a pickup scheduled for Monday. So everything that was left could just, I didn't even have to bring it back into the house at all. It could just stay at the front door and be picked up.
Right, and that's absolutely vital. If you're having a yard sale or some sort of event that's all-inclusive like that, you definitely have to, that is just as important as having the starting cash for your yard sale or having the signs and advertising for your yard sale. Have a plan of getting rid of whatever is left before you start. Do not wait and watch those things. You know, schedule something, get on the phone, get on the internet. If you need ideas, message us at Road School Moms, and we'll help you figure out where you can get rid of your items, because every city has some sort of person, organization, or church, or someone that will benefit from those items and will come pick them up.
Absolutely. So we've talked about kitchen stuff. We've talked about clothing. I think the next big category is your textiles, like your sheets, your towels, those things. What did you do when you decided to downsize those areas of your house?
I done mine very simply. I just decided that I needed two towels per person. I needed two wash rags per person, and that's how we done that. I kept five kitchen towels, five kitchen wash rags. I mean, I was very minimal on that from the beginning because it wasn't something that I was, you know, really excited about. Even when I was in a house, that wasn't my big thing. So, you know, just having a few for each person. On the sheets, we're lucky because we only have two sizes, so I don't have to worry about a lot of different sizes of anything. Everybody's pillows are the same. So I keep enough that everybody, you know, has the sets that are on and then one clean set to go through so that they're, you know, God forbid that we have a sickness or something in our rig and you have to change sheets all in one day, that you don't have to worry about where to wash those at for that day.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, that I struggled with, and I remember posting on Facebook myself when I was still in my house, because I really struggled with getting rid of the top sheets. I knew that they didn't use the top sheets. The kids don't use the top sheets to their thing. They'd rather sleep on the bottom sheet and have a blanket that they like over them. They don't want a top sheet, but I really struggled with getting rid of the top sheet because it felt like I was breaking up a
Right. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I'll have to say that I don't have any top sheets on any of our beds, and I think that I have systematically gotten rid of all but two. So I hadn't even thought of it, but I don't even have those either.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, you know, again, your mind plays tricks on you with what you think you should keep and, you know, what seems useful at the time and all this stuff. But really, it's very basic what we need. We need some shoes, we need some clothes, we need some underwear, we need some utensils, some plates. This comes up a lot. What kind of plates do you have in your rig?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What kind of plates do you use, dinner plates?
They are, what do you call them? I have a few Corel. And then I have some, I can't think of, melamine, like the melamine. I have those, they look like lunch trays, I guess. You've seen them, the lunch trays like you get in, like, school lunch trays. I have one of those for each of my kids. And then we have some Corel dishes, very lightweight. And they all of our dishes stack in one wide drawer. So not very many and very lightweight.
Yeah. And same with us. I just have my Tupperware dishes, which I love because they were microwavable and super lightweight, and we just have eight of them. There's six of us. There's eight dishes. If you come to eat at my house, chances are we're eating on paper, all of us, because I don't have enough dishes.
Right. Well, and I would love to say that we're green and that, you know, I feel like that we are environmentally conscious and all of that, and I know you or your family is as well. And I would love to say that, you know, we got out on the road and we don't use tape, you know, we don't use paper and we don't use plastic and all this, but the truth of the matter is that we do. And, you know,
right,
for convenience and, like you're saying, for storage and all kinds of other reasons, you know, we definitely do as well.
Okay, so we talked about the tangible items to get rid of. But, hey, you brought up a great idea this morning. What about the emotional baggage that you have the opportunity to get rid of? And, again, this is not just for people who want to live in a camper and go full-time. You have a choice to get rid of your emotional baggage any day that you choose. You could wake up tomorrow morning and say, that's it, I'm not carrying this with me anymore. So let's talk about what you can leave behind emotionally.
Well, on the tough side, I'm going to have to say for me, guilt was the first thing. And that is whatever, I don't know what kind of, you know, mom guilt, wife guilt, student guilt, daughter guilt, I don't, whatever, you know, if you have anything like that, get rid of it. You know, whether you're good enough at this or you've done enough of that or, you know, whatever. The thing of it is to love yourself and, you know, to move ahead and look forward and leave that baggage behind. So, what, you know, if there's any guilt that you're carrying around, toss that first. Because it is weighing you down. And
absolutely.
I mean, what
absolutely.
Else, Kimberly? What else can you think of? I mean, insecurities, that's another one that's probably not far behind guilt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely get rid of those. Those are useless. I'm going to add something that I've been doing before we even got in the camper was I have a box. I have an electronic box on my computer, like a file, and I have a physical box in my house, and I've had one for years, and it's called my Something for Jesus to Do box. And if it's just out of the realm of something I can do and there's nothing I could do about it, I just either type it out and save it in that file on my computer, or I write it out and I put it in that box, and that's it. I just leave that for Jesus to do. There's nothing I could do about that. So it's not so much taking or tossing. It's just something, a practice that really helps me know what it is that I can change and what it is I have absolutely no control over, and I've given up trying to have control over things that it's just impossible for me to do anything about.
I love that, Kimberly. And, you know, I have really the past year, definitely the last 6 months, I have really resolved myself and really focused on the fact that my life and the life of my loved ones, I mean, it really is in God's hands. And, you know, sitting around worrying about it and all that is of no use. And so I love that, like, physical, you know, metaphor for leaving in God's hands your Jesus box. I love that. That's the cool thing.
Yeah. You know, and then as I write it down, Mary Beth, really, I feel the burden lifted off of me. I'm really not carrying that with me anymore. It's really, you know, something for him to handle. Just doing that practice of writing it down and sending it to him, you know, that's it. I feel relieved of it. So that's something.
Well, I love that. And while we're talking about those things, I can, you know, on the keep side for me, you know, is to keep the faith. And you have to have faith. And I, you know, not everyone is the same. You and I both know I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I, you know, follow the word of the Bible. I realize that not everyone does that, and that's okay. I'm talking to you as well. Whatever it is you have faith in, you know, that's what, you know, you have to keep faith. You have to have that focus, and you have to have faith. And, you know, that's the one thing that you have to keep, no matter where you are, is faith, because that's, you know, one of the ones that, you know, you got to keep focus on.
You are so right about that. Absolutely. Keeping the faith is important. And keeping keeping in mind why you're doing all this. You know, that's what's going to help you not undo and reclutter your life. By keeping in mind and keeping a priority, why am I making these changes in my life? Why is this necessary? How is my family benefiting from these changes that I'm incorporating in my life? By keeping that as a focus in your mind, then what you're doing is you're always working and practicing on getting better and better at it. You know, it's very easy. There's a huge amount of creep that goes on in my house. You know, we purge, get these countertops clean, and then I turn around and after one trip to Walmart, boom, we're all back.
Yep, that's very true. And that goes along with what I was just getting ready to say was keep your family's values, whatever it is that is close to your heart and it is important to your family, and toss what is important to the rest of the world. Toss what the rest of the world thinks is normal or traditional. If it's create your own normal. That's what I'm telling you. Keep that and toss the rest.
Oh, I love that. I love that, tossing what's important to the rest of the world. I love that. I never thought of it that way, but that's absolutely right. Get rid of those comparisons. Get rid of trying to keep up with other people. Just get rid of that. You know, I have lived in this lifestyle for so long that it's not even apparent to me that people do that anymore, because I know that when we're out here as full-time families and as full-time RVers, there's we don't have that same pressure to keep up appearances at all. It's totally gone. So you've mentioned it. Laura Hamilton's mentioned it. Jill Dinkins has mentioned it. A lot of people who have been home this summer are hanging out with their friends, and there's the discussion is all based on comparisons. Oh, my Jimmy can do this, and my husband bought me that, and blah, 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 blah. And that's not something that gets anyone anywhere, those comparisons. So toss that.
It does. It does. And it's
That's one thing that I can say, and you've heard me say it a million times. Go, being in our rig and homeschooling our kids and living this lifestyle that we live now is hands down the best thing we've ever done for our family. And it just, it really allows you to see so much more clearly what you're about and what is important to you and what is truly the glue that keeps your family together. Because as much as, you know, as much as you, you know, your family back home is important and you want to see them and you want to keep connected with them and all of that. And I'm not saying that that's not important because it is very important. But, you know, just developing your own sense of what is real to your family, it just becomes so clear. The journey just makes it become clear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another thing to keep or toss, keep your eyes open. You know, my a lot of people say, oh, gosh, you know, it'll be so nice when you can be on this trip with just your husband, and that will be nice. But a lot of the reason why we're doing this is because we want to see the world through our children's eyes. And they notice so much more. Just today we were in a gift shop, and there was a quiver that holds holds arrows, and it was Indian craft. It was crafted. And I was looking right at it, Mary Beth. I was looking right at it, and Tonya goes, oh, look, there's a skunk sewn into it. How in the world did I miss that? What? There is a full skunk, like a real skunk fur, sewn into this article that I am staring at intently, and I didn't see it at all. So, you know, keep your eyes open. Let them show you these things. It's just amazing to be on a journey with them.
It really is, and it just, you know, your life slows down. You know, I mean, I think that's what we all of us that are already out here can say. You know, a lot of us refer to the rat race or running on the wheel, and it really does feel like that you get off of that crazy rat race, and, you know, your time slows down, and you really just start seeing things through your kids' eyes, and just, you know, it, I don't know, it's just life-altering.
It is.
Life-altering for me, really. But it is like
it
that.
Is.
It's just seeing things in a different perspective.
It is. It's
what do you, what do you think about this? Someone in the chat is asking about, what do you think about a screen room for an outdoor bug-free zone? What's your thoughts on that?
So we've had one. Actually, we've had two. And if you're going to travel frequently, I promise you, if you're going to stay someplace for your maximum time, which of a month to 3 weeks to a month, you are not going to want to go through all that work of setting up a screen room. It's just going to sit in a box. If you're going to go somewhere for 2, 3, 4 months, then yes, I would say yes, it's worth it, you know, to be stationary and to have that nice outdoor bug-free area. But we've had gazebos, we've had atta rooms, we've had all sorts of stuff, and when we travel, they just sit in the box because it's so much work to put them up. As it is right now, we don't even put our awning out.
Isn't that funny? I know the exact. That's exactly right.
Why do you think that? Do you think your family would do the same thing? Just let it sit in the box?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the idea of it's great. And again, like you say, if we were going to be stationary somewhere for, you know, several weeks, if not a couple of months, and it was a you know, if it was something necessary in that area, then maybe. But otherwise, absolutely not. Because our family, just the one thing to remember about, if you know, if you're downsizing and you're new to full time and you're getting out on the road is, I just lost my train of thought. How about that? I don't know what I was going to say. Sorry, it's gone.
The bigger idea here is not to replace your home sticks and bricks lifestyle with your camper lifestyle. It's not a one-to-one comparison. It's,
oh, absolutely.
You'll be spending way more time outside. So in my estimation, bikes are important, even though they're a big pain in the neck. I think they're important. Outside chairs are important. But inside things are not as important as they are in your house.
And that's
you're
what you just, yep, and you just clicked what I was getting ready to say. You know, no matter what kind of a rig that you're looking at, whether you're looking at a travel trailer or a camper or a Class A or a Class B or a tent,
you are really not, or at least for us, we don't live inside of our motorhome. And I know you don't live inside of your fifth wheel. You don't really live. You're living on the outside. You're living outside with all of the things that you're getting ready to experience. And so, you know, that's where you're really living at, is outside.
Absolutely. I see on the chat that in the palm of my hand asks, how long do you usually stay in an area? And the short answer for me would be, if we're enjoying an area, we'll be there usually 3 weeks to a month. And if we're in between enjoyable areas, as in we're traveling, let's say, from Tucson to Oregon, then it'll probably take us 5 or 6 nights to get from place to place. So we're really not staying in that area at all. We're just traveling through. But like I said, again, 3 weeks to a month is usually how we stay. You know, we Chris and I have a Thousand Trails membership, and so that allows us 3 weeks in a park. And if we're not in a Thousand Trails park, then we'll try to get the monthly rate.
Right, and we actually, at least for the past few years and next year, is our plan that we winter in Florida for a few months, and then we travel the rest of the months, and we're very similar to the same, you know, a few nights on a trip from point A to point B, but when we find somewhere that we like, we're there at least a couple of weeks.
Right. So,
and Leslie's asking just quickly from Tucson, and I think someone else asked it earlier about the outdoor carpet or whatever. And I'll tell you that for me, that's one thing that we do carry still. We had it in the beginning, and we still carry it. And it's not huge, but we do have like an outdoor carpet that you can, you know, wipe your feet on, or, you know, it kind of actually goes up under our rig so that we keep some of the outdoor muddy shoes out there, boots or whatever, up under the rig if needed.
Right. I like the outdoor carpet, too, because it gives an outdoor play area for the kids also. They can go out there. They can spread their Legos out on it. They can build stuff. Tonya can go out there with her Barbie dolls. And so we had not had an outdoor carpet for probably 2 years. Probably a year ago, we repurchased one. We had a huge piece of AstroTurf that we had bought from Home Depot, which was awesome. I loved it. It was fantastic. And it was super cheap. It was on clearance from Home Depot. But then we went to someplace in California, and it got full of those goat heads, and it was impossible to walk on.
Those goat heads are the worst.
They are. They're the worst. They are really the worst. So, and they're all, you know, they get stuck in your Crocs. Those are crazy things. So on the chat, I put it on once. I'm putting it on again. The my prescribed wardrobe for full-time RV children, it's a zip file, and it's there for you to download. We usually sell that on the website, but it's my free gift for all our listeners tonight. And
awesome.
Again,
thank
if you're listening over the podcast, if you want this wardrobe list from the podcast, just email me, Kimberly@fulltimefeminist.com. And if you want the Buried Bliss book, again, just email me, and it'd be my pleasure to get that to you.
That's awesome. I can't wait. I don't have the Buried Bliss one, so I'm going to be emailing you for that myself.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I'll be excited to share that with you. So next week on the show, we are talking about, you know, the first Sunday of every month is making money on the road. So next week on the show, we're going to be talking with an expert who we will be revealing in the midst of the week, called Creating Your Location Independent Dream Job. This is about you deciding what your passion is and you deriving an income from it. So I'm really excited about this. This is not like a turnkey box thing that you need to buy. That works for some people. Some people are really excited about that, and if that works for them, I'm happy for them. But if you have an idea and you want to be full-time on the road, or you want to be location independent and have an income, you really want to tune into next week's show when we talk about how you can lay the foundation for creating your location independent dream job.
That's right, and I'm so excited about that. As you know, we have several shows in our series coming up this season for that. We're excited about that. As we wrap up this week's What to Keep and What to Toss, just know that there's tons of things we didn't talk about, like toys. I know some in the chat were asking about toys, pictures, schoolwork, curriculums. I mean, I have a list a mile long, you know, plants, all kinds of things. So just know that Kimberly and I are going to be working on some guest posts with each other's websites over the next couple weeks, and we'll try to talk about those things. And if you have something specific you want to know about, email us or post it on our Road School Moms Facebook page, and we'll be glad to talk about it.
Absolutely. You know, I think I have one on toys that I wrote over 2 years ago, and I want to tell you, as your children get older and a lot of electronics become more of their life, the toys really get weaned down, and now we're down to, like, one box that they all share. So, but I'm going to be posting on the thing, this blog post that I wrote 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, my goodness. For those who want to see it, and I know Mary Beth's got a lot of great organization blog posts too to share. So stay tuned. If you need more information, you can always talk to us at Road School Moms on Facebook, or we have a Road School Moms group if you want to be a part of that. I'll share that link. 1 second. Road School Moms. And then what
are you doing this week? No, you go ahead.
I said, what are you doing this week? What's going on at Road Trip Teacher this week?
Road Trip Teacher is all about July 4th. I don't know why this is such an important holiday. It's not, it's not like Christmas or gifts or anything like that. It's just the, I don't know, my kids just really get into July 4th. They love the whole red, white, and blue thing. And so we are spending our days, we've done my copy work guide over the weekend, and they're all about that. So they love going around telling everybody facts and figures about July 4th that they learned in the study guide from Road Trip Teacher. And so they're expanding on that. Two of my boys are doing some research on the War of 1812, which has a place in how Independence Day became a fact. And the girls are memorizing patriotic songs, and we're working on red, white, and blue things that you can eat every day this week. So the seven things it takes to make your table special for July 4th. I guess that's what we're working on. So watch for that. I'll be posting that. I think that's scheduled to come out on Tuesday with pictures.
That's so fun. I can't wait for that. Very cool. So we are just putting the finishing touches on our scavenger hunt, and we're going to be scheduling that. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And then if you're not getting our Tuesday Steals and Deals newsletter in your email box, you're going to want to go and put your email address anywhere in full-time families, anywhere that it asks for it, without getting it on the list. And you'll get all that information. One of the things we publish every week is hand-picked free Kindle books for FTF, and that's always a top post among all the posts that we put, the 7 or 8 posts we put out every week. And those are some great books, so you're going to want to get your free books and find some more 4th of July information. I know Road Trip Teacher is going to be sharing that with us on Full-Time Families, so you'll be able to see it there, and I think that's it for tonight.
Yep, I think you're right. So if you have a question or you want to talk a little bit more about what we've talked tonight on what to keep and what to toss, feel free to email Kimberly at fulltimefamilies.com or me at info@roadtripteacher.com. Post it on our Road School Moms Facebook page. We'll be glad to talk about it. We'll look forward to speaking with you next week, same time, same place, from wherever in the world you are, next Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it.
Safe travels.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.